we are holding on the second line of Membe Zamaralev. We started talking yesterday about Kiddush Levana. We said that during what time of the month you can say it. We had two opinions. We had Rav Yehuda saying until the 7th of the month, and Nahardoi saying until the 16th.
That is in Babel.
Nahardoi means in Babel, yeah.
No,
it applies everywhere in the world. They're saying this is their opinion, and that's the halacha. Okay. Omalei Rav Acha Midifti L'Ravina. V'livri Chatov V'Ametiv. So Rav Acha Midifti asked Ravina, why should we not say the bracha Chatov V'Ametiv? Namely, Rashi explains the question as according to Rav Yehuda. According to Rav Yehuda, we said the latest you can do Kiddush Levana is the 7th day of the month, because after that the moon has become, because of the 7th of the month, the moon has become a semicircle. And after that, so the question is, fine, you can't say Kiddush Levana anymore because it can't be considered a new moon. But why shouldn't you at least say Hatov V'Ametiv, because you're getting good from the Eibishter, that it's getting fuller and fuller, and therefore you have more and more light.
Yeah.
Marshall explains the question is actually on everybody. Even Nahardoi, who say until the 16th, why should we not say both? We'll say the bracha for Kiddush Levana, as well we'll also say Hatov V'Ametiv for the benefit that we have from the light. Amalei, so Ravin answers him, so what's the logic? I mean, so when it, and when it's getting smaller, do we consider it a bad thing and we say the bracha Dianamis on it? The two brachas go hand in hand, kind of. Yeah. So the question is, deliver chatov v'ametiv, that therefore you should say we should bench chatov v'ametiv. You don't say Diana Emes. So the question is, deliver chilnu v'tabayu. Taka, maybe we should say both. Maybe we should taka say Diana Emes in the second half of the month and chatov v'ametiv in the first half. The answer is no. Given the hainu urche, since it's the normal cycle of the moon, loyim v'achinu. We don't make a bracha on that. It's not considered a puranus. It's not considered a bad thing. It's not considered a punishment to the world when the moon is getting.
Maybe it's a bracha. The moon becomes smaller.
No, but I mean, on the face of it, the fact that it's becoming smaller is less of a benefit for us because we have less benefit from its light. But you can't call it a puranus because you can't call it a puranus or a toiva, respectively, such that you should say the bracha for bad news and good news, respectively. On it.
I mean, in addition to that, if we didn't have the narrowing of the moon, we couldn't have it becoming bigger.
Okay.
One.
Yeah. Okay.
So one goes with the
other. Fine, but you could argue that as far as in general. I mean, if you didn't have people dying, you wouldn't have, you know, eventually the moon.
That's
would.
Correct.
But nevertheless, you say Baruch Dynamis when a person dies. So okay. We started this sugya by mentioning something that Rav Acha Bachanina said in the name of Rav Asi and the name of Rav Yechanan about how far into, well, first we started saying about the Edim, then we started saying how far into the month you can do Kiddush Levana. So now another thing from that same chain of authorities also having to do with Kiddush Levana. Anybody who makes the bracha on the moon, who does Kiddush Levana in its proper time, it's as if he's receiving the presence of the Shechina. Why? How do we know this? Because you have a pasuk that says "Hachodesh hazeh lochem," this month should be for you. And we have in Oz Yashu, this is my God, and I will glorify him. So we see the word "zeh" referring to. And veil means either I will glorify him or I will be as similar as possible to him. Mau rachel mafu, afasa rachel mafu. The lashon is either nove, which means beautiful, like the base of nova kodesh. It can also mean a house, so it can also mean I'll build a house for Hashem, and it can be lashon anivahu, I and he. So I will be like what he is.
Nove with a
vav means a house. Yeah. Okay. Tonet ve Rabbi Shmuel, il mole le zocher Yisrael el olahak v'pnei avin shabashmayim kol chodesh v'chodesh. If the Jewish people only had the schus to receive the presence of their Father in heaven every month, dayim, then that would be sufficient for them. In other words, the fact that we have this schus once a month is a great thing. Rabbi Hilchach Neimrim Umad. Rabbi says, therefore we say it standing, because if we're receiving the Shechina, we should say it standing.
Tonight
we're going to say the Shlavana, indeed. Yeah. So now we're going to have the text of the bracha soon, and then we'll understand what we're saying when we say the bracha. Anyway, so yeah, of course, we say this passage as part of Kiddush Levana. The real question is, and many Meforshim, many Rishonim and Achronim deal with the question, why indeed is Kiddush Levana like Kabbalah, Pnei Hashchina anyway? What's the comparison? So there's a lot of different reasons that are given. Among them is the idea that Rabbeinu Yonah says the idea that, like this, we can't see the Eibishter. All we can see is what he does in the world. When we see the things that he does, like making, like renewing the moon, it, it, that evokes the fact that Hashem exists, and therefore to see that.
Same thing about the sun going up.
Fine, but this is the more visible change that you see from day to day, especially one of the other Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yohanan, adds also the idea, and various other Rishonim, Rabbeinu Bechaya and others talk about a similar vein, that this is one of the clearest examples that you see every day, not every day, but every so often, of something disappearing and reappearing. So therefore, it reminds us that Hachila, the Eibishter, created the world out of nothing. Just as now he recreates the moon seemingly out of nothing. And therefore, to see the moon being renewed is like to receive the face of the Shekhinah, because like that demonstrates to you most clearly Hashem's presence in the world, that Hashem created the world and runs it.
That's why it was made this way.
There's many, many other reasons that Rishonim and Achronim bring. Tzemach Tzedek brings in Derech Mitzvasecha a reason of the Kabbalah. He says that you have Kiddush HaChodesh, which is done at the beginning of the month. Kiddush, in general, the word Kodesh implies taking something from below and lifting it up higher. As opposed to here we do Birka, here we do the Bracha on the moon, or the Sfarim call it Birka Salavana, we call it Kiddush Salavana, but whatever. So Bracha implies bringing something from higher down below, which is what the Shekhinah is all about. Amshacha. Yeah, Halal versus Hamshacha, right. So, and the Shekhinah is also the idea of being Mamshit, the Shekhinah, down here to earth. So therefore, it's like Kabbalah smash Shekhinah. And he says also, that is why, as we said yesterday, that you're not supposed to do it off the Kabbalah before 7 days passed in the month, because it takes Malchus, which is another term for the Shekhinah, it has to absorb from all the seven midas, Chesed, Gvura, etc., down to Malchus. So therefore, and then we're able to make the bracha on it. And then...
But you see also the narrowing of the moon as the moon expressing as an expression of battle towards the Eibishter.
Maybe. I mean, the bittle of the stars and planets towards the Eibishter, the Gemara talks about elsewhere, we learned about it in Bava Basra, for example, is the fact that they travel towards the west each day, that we see them rising in the east and setting in the west, and the Shekhinah is in the west, so like they're bowing towards the Eibishter. The lessening of the moon is a different kind of thing than that. That's a different thing. You have the famous story in Gemara Cholin about how the Eibishter made the moon, why the Eibishter made the moon wax and wane, because it complained, etc. Yeah. Anyway, so like I said, there's a lot of other reasons that are behind this idea why Kiddush Levana is like Kabbalah Pnei Shekhinah. Marshall says another one is nowadays we're talking not able to see the Shekhinah, but as we're going to see soon in a few lines when we learn the text of the Bracha, The waxing, the growing of the moon is the fact that it disappears and then reappears is a simon for us Jewish people that even though we have our eclipses, we have our downturns in history, the Eibishter always brings us back, and eventually there will be Mashiach times when, as we say in the Tefillah at the end of Kiddush Levana, that the moon eventually won't be waxing and waning anymore, and then we will be able to see the Shekhinah on a regular basis. So therefore, when we do Kiddush Levana, it's like Kabbalah's Pnei Shekhinah in the sense that it evokes that time when we will be able to be Mekabel Pnei Shekhinah on a regular basis. Okay. So therefore we say it's then. There's an interesting thing, by the way, that Rabbi Reuben Margolius says an interesting vote on this Hilkof Nemrunim Umad. He says like this. We know there's two major categories of brachas. There's Birkas HaNenin and there's Birkas HaMitzvah. Birkas HaNenin, you can stay standing or sitting. When you make a bracha on an apple, for example, you don't necessarily have to stand for it. Birkas HaMitzvahs, in general, you're supposed to stand. That's why we stand for Kiddush and Avdallah and Hallel and so on and so forth. If we were to say that the bracha on the moon... Our minhag is that you stand for both. There are people who have the minhag of the Kabbalah, they sit for the Shoyad and stand for the Shorosh. But in general, Birkas HaMitzvahs are done standing. If we were to say that the bracha on the moon is a birkas hananin, that you're saying it because we enjoy the light of the moon, then you could say it sitting or standing. But then you wouldn't only say it once a month. Then you could say it any time you benefit from the light of the moon. Heyos was saying that kol chodesh v'chodesh, or pamach v'chodesh, as you say it in the Siddur, that's taka only once a month. That means, says Abaya, that means, therefore, it must be a birkas hamitzvah. If it's a birkas hamitzvah, then you got to stand for it.
We say once a month, I mean, you do mitzvahs every day.
No, but the point is, there are mitzvahs that you do every day, there are mitzvahs that you do once a month, and so forth. The point is, that because the fact that we don't say it just every time we see the moon implies that it can't be a birkas hananin. If it's not a birkas hananin, it must be a birkas hamitzvah. Okay. Marema and Mazutra Makafi Adot Yomukhi. Marema and Mazutra would lean on each other's shoulders to make the bracha. So there's a couple of different explanations among the Rishonim what it means. Either most of the Mephoshim understand that what it means is they were old. So either it means that Yadra Masa, it means that their servants, their Shamashim would have to support them on their shoulders so that they'd be able to stand and make the bracha. So like Abaya said, you have to stand to make it. There's another explanation that they would lean on each other's shoulders, same idea, like in order to hold each other up. The Me'iri brings an idea that Makafi may also mean that they jumped up and down out of the simcha of the mitzvah. In fact, how we do it, we get up on our tiptoes three times. That Baruch Hoseh is an evocation of that, so that was because of the simcha of the mitzvah. Yeah. Okay.
But should do it for every mitzvah then.
But primarily for this one, because Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. I mean, there's a lot of other things that come from this that Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. This is also why we go outside to do it. We don't do it under a roof, because if we're going to greet the presence of the Eivishter, we shouldn't just be under a roof or something. We should go out into the outside. Yeah, into the outside. Okay. Omelet of Acha, Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha says to Rav Ashi, what is the nusach of the bracha? B'mar Rava, in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, Mevorchi, they make the text of the bracha for them is Boruch Mechadish Chadoshim. Blessed is Hashem who renews the month. Amalei, so Rav Ashi says, "Hai noshi didan nami mevorchi." A bracha like that, even the women over here could say.
In other words, that's
the point is, that's a very simple nusach of the bracha. That's not the kind of nusach. The proper nusach is, as the Gemara is going to continue saying, a simple bracha like that. So that on the face of it, the Gemara is saying that women should do kiddush levana. We know the Ma'aseh said we never see women do kiddush levana, and in fact, it's brought in Sfarim. The Shalom brings, for example, that first of all, it's a mitzvah that says shazman grama. Women are potter from it anyway. What about they do lots of other mitzvahs that say shazman grama, and they make and minhag Ashkenaz, they even make a bracha on it. The difference is. It's not lighting candles, it's different, that's their special mitzvah, but for example, lulav, shofar,
you do,
among Ashkenazim in general it is, anyway, the Shalach Kodesh brings, though, that the idea is, the whole fact that the moon waxes and wanes is because of the Chetei Tadah, which was caused by Chava. Therefore, it's not appropriate for them to do Kiddush Levana. So the Magen Avraham mentions that. He says, when the Gemara says over here, Noshi Didan Nami Mevarchi, he doesn't literally mean that women here in Bavel say that bracha, because in fact, women are not supposed to do it. He just means this is the kind of bracha that women would be capable of saying. There's no toichen to it, basically. It's just a simple bracha. Ella, no, what is the proper bracha? Kiddush Rav Yehuda. Rather, the proper nusach of the bracha is like what Rav Yehuda says. The Amr Rav Yehuda, the bracha is like this. Baruch v'cholah, Baruch atah Hashem alekeinu melech haolam, Hashem ma'amored bar ha'shchakim, who created the heavens with his word, uveruach piv kol tzvaam, and he created all of their hosts, all of the stars and planets, the moon, the sun, the stars, the planets, etc., with the breath of his mouth. Choykuz man nasam lahem, he gave them an appointment and a time. Shalei yishana, the Marsha explains, choyk means the fact that the sun shines by day and the moon by night. Zman means the actual time it takes for their respective cycles. Shalei yishana was tafkidim, that they should not change their appointed task. Sosam usmeichem lasus etzayim chayim, they're happy and joyful to do what the Eivishter wants, even in the case of the moon, it has to wax and wane, nevertheless, it still does it joyfully, because the Eivishter told them to do it. They are truthful, meaning reliable workers whose work is true, is reliable. Or there's a different Tosfos brings a different girsa. Yeah, right. Tosfos brings a different girsa, which is the girsa that we have in the Siddur. Poyal emes shapu lasei emes. That they're not poyal le emes, not the planets and whatever are faithful workers, but rather Hashem is a faithful worker. Shapu lasei emes. That his work is faithful and true. And that's the nusach as we have it in our Siddur, as the Alter Rebbe has it. That's the point. In other words, the nusach. But we can call Hashem a poyal because he accomplished the work of creation. We continue the bracha. To the moon, Hashem said that it should renew itself every month. This is a crown of glory for Amusei Boten. Amusei Boten, the simple meaning of it is the ones who are carried in the womb. So many of the Mepharshim almost means carried, born in the womb. The one explanation of it is that it means that it refers to the Jewish people, that the Eibishter carries us like a mother carries her baby. One second. It means that the renewal of the moon is a crown of glory for us Jewish people because, as we continue, because we Jewish people will eventually be renewed like the moon. And in fact, there's a famous medrash that draws a comparison as far as the generations. From Avraham to Shlomo HaMelech is 15 generations, where the moon is getting bigger and bigger. So also the influence of the Jewish people in the world is getting greater and greater until it reached an apex in Shlomo's time. From then on, the malchus of the Jewish people starts going down, 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 until Tzidkiyahu was the 30th generation, and he was blinded, and the Jewish people were taken into galus. But yet, we will be renewed. There will be Mashiach, like the moon coming again new. So therefore, so that's the comparison between the phases of the moon and the phases that the Jewish people go through in their history. So that's what we're saying, that the renewal of the moon is a crown of glory, la amuseh baten, to the Jewish people who are carried in the womb, meaning the ones who Hashem carries us as a special nation, like a mother carries her baby in the womb. Or there's a different explanation that some of the Mepharshim say. Amuseh baten means we Jewish people who have a load of mitzvahs to do even from when we come out of the womb, like Bris Milah is done on an 8-day-old baby. Anyway. So the renewal of the moon then is a crown for us. It's a crown of glory, showing that we will eventually be renewed.
Did verses think that really we're not born until Mashiach comes?
No, maybe. I don't know. Could be. So all the four of the Yotzrim, and that we will be able to praise our Creator, Hashem Kored Malchusei, for the glorious name of the kingdom. Baruch Atah Hashem Machadish Chadashim, blessed are you Hashem who renews the month. That's the text of the bracha.
That's what we say.
And that's what we say. That's basically what we say. I mean, there's the slight difference that we say over here, poyal emes tripul lasan emes, like Tosfos gives that, rather than poyal emes tripul lasan emes. But other than that, yeah, it's the same nosach as in the Gemara. That's what I was mentioning yesterday, that some of the poskim say that if for whatever reason you couldn't do Kiddush Levana within the time, as we discussed yesterday, then what you can do is take out this Gemara and learn these few lines of the Gemara, and then you say in the bracha as in the course of learning.
Until when can you do it?
So we said yesterday that preferably you're supposed to do it until the middle of the 29/12/793 halakhim. Which is when the moon is full. If you couldn't do it by that, then there's a little more leeway to do it in the next day or two before the moon starts visibly shrinking.
29
from the previous moment.
Yeah,
in the previous month.
29 days,
12 hours, 793 halakim. You take half of that, 14 days, 18 hours, and change. And that serves non-Kiddush Levana. Ideally, you should say it by then. If you didn't, then you may have a little more leeway after that. Okay. Here's another thing so now we're finished with Kiddush Levana. Now another thing that, before we finish with Kiddush Levana, by the way, I can't resist telling a famous joke in Jewish history involving it. The Bach had a daughter named Rivka, and she was very knowledgeable in Torah. In particular, she was an expert in Tanakh, and therefore one time when they were learning a particular din in the Rambam, she was able to clarify a particular point in it based on her knowledge of it. Anyway, the Bach also had a Talmud who later on became the Taz, Reb David Segal. At the time, he wasn't yet known as the Taz. Anyway, one time, the Bach, maybe it was after the story with her knowledge of Nach, whatever it is, the Bach complimented her, "You're Yofa Kalavani, you're as beautiful as the moon." So Reb David, the Taz, speaks up and says, "In that case, isn't it time to be Mekadosh Levana?" And soon after that, they got married.
That's right.
It's a nut. Another thing that Rav Acha bar Chanina Omer Rav Asi Omer Rav Yechanan goes like this. The Pasuk says in Mishlei, "Ki besach bulos tasa b'chol milchama." The literal meaning of it is that with strategies, you'll be able to make war. The simple meaning of strategy, not necessarily pejorative, but it means like strategies and tactics and whatever, like ways of
strategy.
Yeah, okay. Not necessarily. In modern Hebrew, maybe, yeah. Okay. Amar Rav Acha bar Chanina, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Bichnan. It means, with who are you going to find the ability to really be able to fight the battle of Torah, somebody who's able to really know his stuff and be able to prove his point, is the Mishiyesh Biyadi Chavilos from Mishnah. Somebody who has Chavilos, Mepachbulos, Meloshon Chavilos, somebody who has packages and piles of Mishnayos. Meaning, in other words, primarily Mishnayos. The point of it is, Rashi says, that you can come up with all kinds of nice svaras, but if you don't know your Mishnayos and your Brisos, then how are you going to figure out whether what you're saying is correct or not? Like this, if you have a lot of Mishnayos, then you can deduce based on from one, you can deduce.
You're just under a lot of Mishnah.
You can't derive it only from Mishnah. You still need Svara, which is Gemara. But you still, like this, if you have, for example, you don't understand one Mishnah, you might be able to understand it by reference to another Mishnah. Or another Braitha, or whatever. We find a lot of times in the Gemara, Rashi says, the Mishnah will, a lot of times, will say, what do you mean? This Mishnah doesn't seem to make sense. And we'll say, Halmani, Reb Pliny, who does it go like? It goes like Reb Pliny, as we find another Mishnah or another Braitha that says this opinion according to him. But therefore, who can you find that? Somebody who has packages and bundles of Mishnayos that he knows, that's the one. That's Kibzach Bullet, Tassel HaMuchama. Torah of Yosef HaNapshe. Muhammad, the war of being able to fight the battle of Torah, to be able to figure out, to be able to argue back and forth and come to a proper conclusion. Kori Rabbi Yosef Anapshe, in this connection, Rabbi Yosef referred to himself the Pasuk, V'rav Tvus B'Koyach Shur. You get a lot of grain with the power of the ox. Meaning, Rabbi Yosef was like that. He was an expert in many Mishnayos and Braitas. The Gemara, in fact, elsewhere, talks about that Rabbi Yosef was Sinai. It's like he knew many halachas, like from Har Sinai. And Rabbah, as opposed to him, was Oikah Horim, was the one who was into deep logical analysis. That's also true, but that's neither here nor there. We're talking about before that. So he was like the ox that's able to put in a lot of work in plowing and planting and harvesting, yeah, and whatever, like a shur, especially because Yosef, the Shevet, is compared to a shur, b'chor shur e'hadolai. So therefore, he applied that idea to himself, that he's like the ox, that through that you get a lot of grain. The Rebbe talks about in a Sicha in Chelek Zayin, the idea is the grain after all doesn't grow because of the ox. The grain grows because he plants it in the ground. The ox is the means by which you get a bumper crop, by which you get a great harvest. The same way, Rabbi Yosef is saying, I'm the means through which the Torah can be clarified. It's not that it's my skills and my abilities or whatever. Rabbi Yosef is famous for humility, but he's saying, through me, I'm like the ox, which is able to, the strength of the ox is used to make the to make the grain grow and to get a good crop.
He's referring to
the fact that he knows a lot of Mishnayos and Braitos. The Mishnah said, Echadom of Ishtei Shoshkola. We said in the Mishnah that if one of the Edim says that the thing happened 2 hours into the day and the other one says 3 hours, then that's acceptable. But if one of them says three and one of them says five, then Rav Meir said no good and Rav Yehuda said that's fine. Amr of Shemi Ba'ashi, Lo Shonu El Shosh. This kind of thing where there's a contradiction is only talking about if there's a difference in hours. So as we talked about the other day, we have the discussion in Pesachim between Abaya and Rava, how much is the maximum amount of time that we can assume a person might be off on their estimate of the time. So fine. Aval, Echadim, Echadim, Netzachama, Echadim, Echadim, Netzachama. But if one of the Edim says that the event happened before Netzachama and the other one says after, Edus and Taylor, then their Edus is bottled, because then there's no way that you can mix that up. You know when Netzachama is, you know when the sun is above the horizon.
1 minute before, 1 minute afterwards.
Ah, wait. So the question is, Pshita, isn't that obvious? No. Ela echadem akodim anetzach, echadem abesoichonet. No, how about, though, the case is, one of them says it was before Hanetzachama, and the other one says it was during Hanetzachama, or at Hanetzachama. Also, it doesn't say that. So the question is, when Ami Pshita, isn't that also obvious? The fact is, there's a definitive time. The sun rises, you can see it above the horizon, or not. The answer is no, because you might have thought to say, maybe this one who says that it happened during Netzachama, maybe he was standing out in the open where there's no buildings or anything to obstruct the horizon, and all he saw was he saw rays of light, which made him think that it was already after Netzachama, and therefore he said, or not after, but during Netzachama, but really it wasn't yet. You would think, therefore, that doesn't make what he says incompatible with what the other aide says, that was in fact before Netzachama, the sun wasn't over the horizon yet. Kamash Malan, we don't say that. We say that you know whether the sun is above or below the horizon, as the case may be, and there's no confusing that. Then we said, That's the halacha. Even if
2 minutes before.
Yeah, so if it's a matter of Netzachama or not, then yeah, it's a difference of was the sun above the horizon or was it not. Okay, then we continued in the Mishnah that after they finished cross-examining the first aid, then they bring in the second one, and then we said if one, please close the door after yourself, lady. If we said that then if one of the Talmidim speaks, if one of the Talmidim speaks up and says, I have a choyva, I have an argument against the guy, then we don't listen to him. But if he says, I have an argument l'chus, we said in the Mishnah, then what we do is we bring him up and seed him among the Dayanim, and the Mishnah had said, V'loha yored misham kolayim kula, he didn't leave there the entire day, he remained with the Dayanim the entire day. And we said, if there's mamash b'dvarav, if what he says has logic to it, then we listen to him. So, the Gemara says, so what does that mean? You're telling me that only this Talmud is able to stay together with the other Dayanim on the bench only that day, and that's it? But we learn in a Braisa, in Yesh Mamash Midvarav, that if what the Talmud is saying is logical, if the Dayanim see that there's sense in it, then he would never go down from there. But even if what he said doesn't really make sense, he doesn't go down from there the entire day. In order that his going up shouldn't be a coming down for him. You don't want that. You're going to bring him up onto the bench and then you're going to demote him in the middle of the day in full view of everybody. It would be an embarrassment to him. Like this, you honored him, and then from that is going to come out an embarrassment that you're demoting him. But we see from the bright, we let him stay there the whole day. So the Mishnah had said that he doesn't go down from there the whole day. We assume that means, the Mishnah means, im yesh mamash b'dvarav, that if what he's saying in this case has logic to it, then you let him stay up there on the bench the whole day. But the Braisa is saying that in that case, you leave him up there on the bench permanently. Now, what do we mean by permanently? By the way, the Meiri and many other Rishonim say it can't literally mean permanently. The fact is, you have a certain number of Dayanim. What it means, the Meiri says it means permanently in the sense of as long as this case is in front of the Beis Din. Fine, when it comes to the next case, they'll send him back to the rows of the Talmidim, and eventually he'll make his way up. Different other Rishonim talk about different other possibilities, including, for example, maybe what it means is if a vacancy opens up on the Beis Din, he'll be the first one that they use to fill that, even if he wasn't first on the row before. Usually they would fill them in order, first, second, third, et cetera, on the row. So that's the thing. According to those Rishonim, what we mean is that once he was brought up to the bench temporarily, then if later on a vacancy opens up, then he'll be the one who goes up
before the first rows,
because he's the one who spoke up. Los Chosin. Okay. Anyway, Amar Abaya Talguma Ein Mamash Midvarav. Fine. You're right. When the Mishnah says Oisa Hayoyim, it means even if there was no Mamash Midvarav, you still let him stay on the bench the rest of the day. You still let him stay together with the other Dayanim the rest of the day. The next day, fine, you demote him, because big deal, everybody's reassembling tomorrow morning anyway. If yesh mamash midvarav, then like the Braisa said, et lo hayored misham lo, and then he stays there permanently. Or permanently, or at least as long as the dintar or whatever. Okay. Motzalo is chos kolo, then we said in the Mishnah that if they find him, if they found a chus for him, then fine, they exonerate him. If not, then they have to delay for the next day, as we learned previously. They discussed it that night, and the Mishnah had said they eat less than they usually do, and they don't drink wine that whole day. So that's the question. The question is, yain mai time aloy. Why shouldn't they drink wine? Now, it is true it's not so obvious, because in fact, Mephoshim point out, the point of the question is, it's true that if they drink a revius of wine, they're not allowed to pass in halacha anyway. That's true of dini mamonos as well. The question is, why can't they drink even less than a revius? Less than a revius is not going to get them drunk. Why shouldn't they drink wine a little bit? Especially people regularly drank wine with their meals in those days. Drinking wine in those days is like drinking seltzer or something nowadays. So why not? Because the Pasuk says, V'lo roiznim e sheikhar. The Pasuk says, to the roiznim, the simple meaning of roiznim means rulers. But we're going to see in a second that it means something else. V'lo roiznim e sheikhar, no strong drink, no alcoholic drinks, meaning ha'oiskin b'roze shal olam, meaning people who are involved with the secrets of the world, meaning dini nefashis, al yishtakru, they should not get drunk. So therefore, they shouldn't drink wine at all.
Nobody says at all, because you don't get drunk.
No, but nevertheless. Okay, so Tosfos actually says that the gene of Shasta Revius al Yoda is talking about Paskining, for example, as far as Issa the Heter. According to Tosfos, the tackle would not apply to Dini Nefashis were it not for this Pasuk of Roiznim Eishecher. In other words, if it weren't for this Pasuk of Roiznim Eishecher, they would be perfectly entitled to drink wine, even more than a Revius. Because Tosfos learns that the concept of not drinking a revius and then passing a halacha only applies to Issa v'Heter. There are other Rishonim who hold not dinimam, not dinim nefashim. There are other Rishonim who learn that what it means is Al Yishtakru, a Sheikhar, no strong drink at all, not even less than a Rabbi.
But it would be Dakr for Dinin Nefashas.
No, that's what we're saying, Dakr for Dinin Nefashas. No, as opposed to, then there's a separate din that if you drank more than a Rabbi, you're not allowed to pass in anything. Yes. That's what we're saying. Because the word Roiznim a Sheikhar. By the way, the Haggadah Tabach explains how does Roiznim come to mean Dayanim of Dinin Nefashas. He says because the word Roiznim can be related to the word Rozain. The word rozain can mean, the word rozain, the simple meaning of it is like a leanness or whatever, but it can also mean death. For example, he brings from a pasuk by Yishalach rozain benachshon, that the people who had the taiva, about the kibbutz taiva, who wanted meat, they ended up dying out over there. There ended up being a plague among them. Right, so we see that the word rozain means dinin afashas. Yeah.
Normally
it means like a thinness, a leanness or whatever. Like we say in Tefillah South, for example, mashmanenu al yehi rozain.
There shouldn't be a decrease.
Yeah.
Minimal.
Right. Okay. Then we said We said that what happens if at the end of the case we come out, for example, that there were 36 Dayanim ready to convict him, 35 who want to exonerate him. But you can't convict based on a majority of one. So what do you do? The Mishnah had said, Don and Elu, not you bring in any extra. You can't bring in any more than 71. What you do is, the Mishnah said, Don and Elu, Keneged Elu. You start having them argue against each other until somebody from one side ends up switching over to the other side.
And if two change to the other side.
That's fine. Then you have even more.
No, one changes to one side.
Oh, well, then you're back to where you started. Then you still need to discuss again. So the question is, Loi Ro Umai. So what happens in the end? Neither one is willing to give an inch, so therefore they remain at 36 to 35. What do we do? Amar Rav Acha Paitu, no, he said, okay, in that case, you've got to exonerate him. V'chein Amar Rav Yechanan Paitu, no, he said, and Rav Yechanan said the same thing, you exonerate him. Amar Leir Papa L'Abaya V'lifter in the Ikra. In that case, Rav Papa says to Abaya, then I want you to just pastor him to begin with.
No,
the point is, given that you don't have a majority of two to convict, so then that's it, exonerate him at that point. Why wait until you start arguing back and forth and see if somebody changes his mind? Especially because I think the Aruch HaNer points out, we have the other day the fact that Rav had said when it comes to the actual voting, a person of Dayan can change his mind in either direction, but when it comes to the arguing, somebody who was arguing for the court cannot turn around and start arguing for Chayva. Therefore, of necessity, you're going to end up having, if you're going to have Don and Elu, Keneged Elu, if you're going to have a discussion between the Dayanim over here, the only possibility, therefore, is going to be that one of the 36 Mechayvin is going to go over to the Mezakin side. So in that case, you're anyway going to end up that he's exonerated. Why go through the whole rigmarole? Why have to exonerate him in the first place? Amalei, so Abaya answers, and Pachi Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan said the reason is, Kedosh Lo Yitzim based in Mu'ubavin, so that they don't leave Beis Din confused. In other words, Rashi says the gnai for Beis Din that they should leave kind of deadlocked over there. They didn't come to a proper conclusion. So if they're not able to, fine, okay, you can't keep the guy in Beis Din there indefinitely, but at least you should try to reach some kind of consensus. I don't know. Ikadamri, another version of the discussion, is Amalei Rapapal Abaya. Hello. Another version of the discussion is that a papa asked Abaya, never mind the whole question of Don and Elu Keneged Elu. Let's talk about the earlier stage of it. We said in the Mishnah that you start with a Beis Din of 23, and then if they're deadlocked, then you start adding Dayanim. If they had 12 to 11, 12 for conviction, 11 for exoneration.
Meaning one.
Yeah, in other words, you have a majority of only one to convict, which we can't do that. So we said you add Dayanim. So according to the second version, Rav Papa is asking, why are you adding Dayanim in the first place? Lifter they be made in a comma. Just say that the original Beis Din of 23 should pastor him. In other words, Rashi explains the question is, do the exact same thing as the Mishnah had said you do when there's 71. Do exactly the same as you do by 23. Have them discuss it, fine. Let them see if one of the 12 who's voting for who wants to convict instead goes over to the side to exonerate. If so, then good. If they can't and they still remain at 12 to 11, fine, then pastor him at that case. Why are we saying instead that you just add two more Dayanim and then you have 25 and see whether you have a majority of two and so forth? And according to this, Amalei, so according to the second version, Abaya gave him a different answer. Rabbi Yossi, Kari Kabasah. As a matter of fact, yes, Rabbi Yossi holds like your point. The Tanya, as we learned in Brayso, Rabbi Yossi, Kashem Shein Mesif Na Beis Din Hoshim Vechad, just as you never add more than to the Beis Din of 71, 71 is the maximum number, Kach, a Mesif Na Beis Din Shalashim Hoshloisha, the same way you never add to a Beis Din of 23.
If they're dead for what?
23 is usually for dinin nefashos. 71 is based in agadol for special cases.
Such as
we learned in the first parak, for example, of the kohen gadol was being judged, a case involving a shevet, a case involving a yirani dachat, and so forth. Yeah. So according to Rabbi Yossi, you don't have this concept of adding two dayanim at a time. According to him, if you have a based in a 23 that's deadlocked, 12 to 11, that's it. They have to have a discussion between them. If they can, if one of the 12 goes over to the other side, then good. If not, then you dismiss the case and ban pater the guy. So yes, your question, your papa is Rabbi Yossi would agree with your premise. The Chachamim don't. The Chachamim say that no, you don't do that. You just add two more dayanim. Because they say that the fact is that 71 is the maximum. You could go up to 71, so therefore you ought to do that. So therefore you ought to do that. Rather than just saying, forget it, we have 12 for conviction, but 12 is not enough to convict. We'll just release him. No, better we should try to see where we should try to come to some kind of proper verdict.
What's the 71? It's only Yerushalayim or
no, any basin. That's what we said, that every basin of 23 has three. That's what we said. Yeah, that's what we said. That's what we said before, that every basin of 23 has three rows of talmidim sitting in front of it that they would use to fill, that they would use as alternates in case they needed. They needed as many as 48 alternates as possible, because you might have to go all the way from 23 up to 71.
Every the word says a chesed by 23 because
fine.
There's no more than
because we said you need a majority of at least two to convict.
No, how many people in the city to have 23?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
No, we mentioned
you don't have
extra
line.
We mentioned the Shalosh Shuras over there. We did when we said the 120 people. We said that the 92 of those people are the based in and the three rows of Talmidim. And then the other 28 people are various other people that are doing other things. Yeah.
You were not there.
All right. We learn in a Braisa. When it comes to Dine Mominus, the Beis Din is able to declare Nizdakin Hadin. Literally, Nizdakin Hadin means the Din has become old. We're going to discuss in the next couple of lines what that means. The Einam of Dine Nefashis Nizdakin Hadin, but we don't say that by Dine Nefashis. So the question is, my Nizdakin Hadin? What does that term Nizdakin Hadin mean? Now, usually the word Nizdakin means old. So, Ilema Kash Dina, are you going to say that it means literally the Din is old? Kash is the Aramaic word for old. Like koshish. So Rashi understands that if we were to say that, it would mean this is a very, it's old in the sense it's very deep and that's a very deep, difficult din. We have to analyze it further. We have to get further into it. It's complex. Or Tosfos says it means even different. It means ve'en yochel la'amid olav. It's impossible to figure out. We're at a standstill over here. Well, if that's the case, if that's what it means, it should be the other way around. By dinin and nefashis, you say that. Because by dinin and nefashis, you want to take every possible precaution that we're not going to execute the guy without cause. Whereas by dinin mominus, fine, we can say at some point we give up. We can't figure it out anymore. Or according to Rashi, what we'd say is, sorech lahamtin by fine. We'd say by dinin and nefashis, we have to consider this more carefully, see if we can find reasons to exonerate. Whereas by dinin mominus, it would be easier to say at some
point.
If you say kash dina, which means, again, Rashi says, zokin din zeva omek. This din is old and it's very deep, the kosher and difficult, but tzorach lahamtin, right? We have to carefully consider it more at leisure. Well, then in that case, that should apply more to din and nefashis. So din and nefashis, you want to make sure that you've gotten to the nth degree of how deep you can analyze the thing.
But
the point still remains that why would we say as a blanket statement that you don't say Nizdak and Adin by Din and Nefashis? It sounds like if you say Nizdak and Adin means it's very difficult, we have to analyze it further.
Right.
It sounds like we're saying by Din and Nefashis, never mind, we'll say we don't have to analyze further, let's just go execute the guy. Why would you do that? You're right, you have to flip it around. You say Nizdak and Adin by Din and Nefashis, not by Din and Mominus. Rav Ashi says there's no reason to flip it around. Or mine is dakin adin chacham dina. On the contrary, the word is dakin adin doesn't mean it's difficult and we have to analyze it further. Just the opposite. It says the din is a wise one. In other words, we've come to the proper conclusion. Our conclusion is unassailable. Nobody has to look into it any further. We don't have to analyze it any further. We're certain of our respective opinions.
It's a wise.
So therefore, when it comes to dinim mominus, we can say that fine. We're pretty sure we're hitting on all cylinders. That's it. We can judge. We can decide the case. As opposed to dinim nefashis, don't say that, because after all, even afterwards, you could always find a schus for the guy. You could always find one of the Ivan finds reason to exonerate, and then
wanting to say it's complex.
That's what Rav Ashi is saying. The word nizdakin adin doesn't mean it's complex. It means just the opposite. It means we've come to the proper conclusion. It's clear. The Gemara says, Maisvi, I have a contradiction. The Braita says, Godol Shabbat Yonim. The contradiction actually is going to be to Rav Huna Bar Manoach's understanding. The Braita says, Godol Shabbat Yonim Oimin is Dakan Adin. The greatest of the Dayonim is the one who declares Nizakan Adin. So, if you say like Rav Ashi's understanding, that it means we got it. There's no question we got it. Well, then fine. Hainu Dama Gadol. When it makes sense, the Gadol is the leader of the Beis Din that would make that declaration. Ela Iyam Kash Dina. But if you're going to say it means this Din is very difficult, we're going to have to analyze it further. Why should it have to be Dafka the Gadol should say it? Isn't it an embarrassment to him saying that the Beis Din that he's presiding over doesn't know how to reach a proper conclusion? The answer is Ain. Yes, that might be a valid reason to do it that way. You can't compare a case where somebody is embarrassed by other people then when he's embarrassed by himself. Let him better embarrass him. It's better for him, Rashi says. Let him better embarrass himself rather than having somebody else have to say on his behalf, Kashdina, this Beis Din doesn't know what we're doing, basically, and then it embarrasses him even more.
So we rejected.
So according to that, we can still understand, like our original understanding, that it means Kashdina. It's a very difficult din. But it's Davka, the Gadol, who says it in order to spare himself more embarrassment than if one of his junior colleagues would have to speak up and say that. Ikadamri, another version, is the discussion goes the other way around. Iyamet v'shlema kashdina, if you say that nizakin adin means kashdina, it's very difficult. Hainu enu deyna deyma mispayesh ma'atman mispayesh ma'acherim. Fine, then we can understand why it's the responsibility of the Gadol to say it. Not because it's his responsibility, but because better he should not have to suffer the humiliation of having somebody have to say that to his face, nizakin adin. But if you're going to say that it means, like Rav Ashi understands it, that it means we got it, we're certain in what we said. Why is the Gadol praising himself? Why is he priding himself on having done it? Doesn't the pasuk say Yahaloch Hazor v'Lepicha? Let somebody else praise you, not your own mouth. So why should the Gadol be saying? The answer is shiny milsa de beidina. It's different with official declarations of Beis Din da Gadol Ramya. It's the responsibility of the Gadol to make those declarations.
So he's not really praising.
He's not really praising himself. This is part of the official process of the Beis Din. So even if it's something of shvach, it's still his responsibility to say. Kedetnan, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, Gomer v'Fadova. We said when a din Torah is finished, Hoy Machnisinos, and we bring back in the Edim or the Bale Din, as we discussed over there. Gadol Shabbat Dayanim, and the eldest of the greatest of the Dayanim says, Ish pointing out to Zaka, Ish pointing out to Chayev. So yeah, it's his responsibility as the Chief Justice to make these kinds of announcements. So in this case, for example, he also says Nizakan Adin. The Rambam actually paskins according to the first understanding, according to Rav Huna Bar Manoach, that what it is nizakin adin means kash dina. It's very difficult, and in that case, what it means is by dina nefashis we try not to say that because we try to come to a conclusion. If we can't, if it really is irresolvable, then that's it. We pass to the guy because we have nothing. It's kind of like a hung jury then. Yeah. Hadron alachoy boikin. Some of the Rishonim, actually, I think in the Uri, says the idea of saying Nizakin Adin is also like to urge them by saying it, by making an official declaration to that effect. It's like as if to say, to urge themselves, we got to find some better way to exonerate him that maybe we haven't thought of yet. Yeah. I don't know what's your way. Yeah.
At the end of the day,
Indeed. Yeah. Okay. So now we've talked about the procedures of the trial. Now what happens? The guy is convicted. Now we've got to talk about the actual Mrs. Basin. We start with Skila. Rashi says the reason is because Skila is the first of the Dalit Mrs. Basin. So our Perek is going to discuss the procedures for Skila, and then the next Perek will discuss the procedures for the other three, straight for Herig and Chana.
Very, very enlightening.
Yeah. Other Mephoshim give other reasons why Skila is first, one of them being that Skila has a lot more details to it opposed to the other. No, it's not it's the harshest, at least according to the Chachamim. So that's another reason, because according to the Chachamim it's the harshest. Another reason is just because Skila has the most details to it. We're going to have an entire parak of Mishnayos that deals with the details of it. According to the Chachamim it is. Okay. Nigmar Adin, if the trial has finished and the guy is convicted, they take him out immediately, as soon as possible. Yeah. We said you don't want Inui Adin, you don't want to prolong the guy's misery. You take him out to give him skila. We'll see in the Gemara that Metzian literally means we take him away from the base. for reasons that we'll discuss. Beis Haskilah hayachut beis din. The Beis Haskilah was outside of beis din, meaning Rashi says some distance away from beis din. The Rambam actually understands differently. The Rambam understands on the basis of the next piece of Gemara that the Beis Haskilah had to be 6 mil away from the place of the beis din. The Rambam says the logic of it is because the pasuk that we're going to quote is involving a din Torah that is involving a case that took place in Moshe's beis din. Moshe was a Levi. He lived in Machne Levia near the center of the Machne. Machne Yisrael was 12 by 12 mil. So from Moshe's tent, from where the beis din shtibah was until the edge of the Machne is about 6 mil. Therefore, it has to be at least 6 mil away, says the Rambam. Okay, Shenema, the pasuk says, Hoitzeh the Makala, the pasuk says, take out the blasphemer. So we see he has to be taken out. He's not just executed right there in Beis Din. Echad Omer al Pesach Beis Din. Then you have one person standing by the door of the Beis Din Shtibel, Vasudrin Biyadei, and he has scarves or flags, signals in his, for signaling in his hand. Vesus Rochak Mimenu, and there's a man riding on a horse who is some distance away from him, closer to the Beis Haskilah. Kadeshi Yehirei'ehu, in order that they have to be at such a distance that one can see the other, that if the guy waves with his scarves, the guy on the horse will be able to see him. What happens? If one person, a member of the Beis Din, or it could even be another person, the bystander or whatever over there, says that I have an argument in the guy's favor, Halom Meinif Pesudrin, the one who's standing by the door of the Beis Din Shtibel waves his scarves. Vasusrat, the man on the horse sees the signal and runs on his horse to catch up with the condemned guy and the people who are escorting him. Umam Midan, and he stops them, and Beis Din goes and checks out the situation and sees whether there's fact of ground to revoke the conviction. Even if the convicted person himself says, I have an argument in my favor, they can return him to Beis Din, and they can hold up the thing and return him to Beis Din, even four or five times if necessary, as long as each time that he's saying something that has some sense to it. So we'll see in the Gemara tomorrow, we'll talk about how, first of all, how do we know whether what he's saying makes sense, and number two, is there a limit, how many times we'll return him back? But that, so far the Mishnah. We'll get to more of the details in the Gemara tomorrow. There is, by the way, a machlokas between the Rishonim. The Rambam understands that if somebody in the Beis Din says Yeshlu Lamed Alav Schus, they bring him back at that point also. Many other Rishonim say that no, there's two different things in the Mishnah. Ma'amidon from the first case just means they stop them. They make them wait there while Beis Din considers the situation. Only if the guy says the first case in the Mishnah was that somebody who's standing in or near the Beis Din says Yeshlu Lamed Alav Schus. The Mishnah said on that Ma'amidon, that the guy with the horse makes them stop. So the Rambam understands it means they actually return him to Beis Din so they can retry him. Many other Rishonim say that it just means you stop him over there. You don't continue taking him to Skilla, but you make him wait until Beis Din looks over the new evidence. As opposed to if he himself says, yes, the Lama knows good, sure, then everybody agrees you have to bring him back because Beis Din has to hear what he has to say. Fine. Take him on access. Beis Haskilah chutz the Beis Din have of a tulay. You're telling me that the Beis Haskilah was just right outside Beis Din, but it doesn't necessarily have to be outside the city, outside of the Shalosh Machnos. Now we know in general, we know in the Midbar you had Machne Shchina, which is the Mishkan, Machne Leviyah, which is where the Leviyim camped, and Machne Yisrael, which was where the rest of the Shvatim camped. In Ladoros, you have in future generations, you have the Azara is Machne Shchina. The rest of the rest of the Harabayis actually the rest of the Harabayis is Machne Leviyah, and the city of Yerushalayim or any walled city is the equivalent of Machne Yisrael. So you're telling me that the Beis Haskilah has to be outside of Beis Din implies it can be somewhere in the city. What doesn't it have to be chutz l'sholosh machnas? V'tuloy, no more than that. V'hatanya, but we learn in a braisa Beis Haskilah hoya chutz l'sholosh machnas. We learn in a braisa that Beis Haskilah was outside all three machnas. So meaning it was outside the city of Yerushalayim, or in the case of any other walled city, it would have to be outside the city as a whole.
The walls of the city, outside the walls of the city, yeah.
The answer is in Kid Kamrit. Yes, it's true what you're saying. The Beis Haskilah does have to be outside the city. The Hodakatani Hochi, the reason why the Mishnah phrases it this way, Chutz the Beis Din, implies that it can be outside a Beis Din, even if it's in the city. It doesn't mean that. It means nafkamina. All the Mishnah is trying to tell us the distinction. Enofik beidin of Yosef chutz l'shalosh machnas. Should the Beis Din themselves decide for whatever reason to sit outside the three machnas, for whatever reason the Beis Din decides one day to sit outside the city, then avdin and beis haskila chutz beis din. Even then, we still have to have. And Rashi gives the example. Let's say, for example, the Beis Din Agadol wouldn't do it. They stay in the Lushkas Hagadol. But let's say, for example, the other Sanhedrin, the 23 that were in the Azara or whatever, they could decide for whatever reason one day we're going to make our place instead of being in the Azara, we're going to sit outside Yerushalayim. Nevertheless, even then, avdin and beis haskila chutz beis din. Even then, we have to make the beis haskila outside of beis din, not in beis din itself, even though it's already chutz l'shalosh machnas. Ki heichid lemischazi beis din roitzchin. One reason is in order that the beis din should not look like murderers, because in general, beis din is supposed to try as hard as possible to exonerate the guy. So that's one thing. And the other thing Rashi says is anyway, if the execution place is right near the beis din shtibul, it looks like this is a place of killing. You don't want to do that. You want to, there's a court, and then, yeah. That's one. Inami ki hechid et tevilei hatzala. The other reason is, this way there's a chance to save the guy, because we said in the Mishnah, this way, while he's walking, while he's being brought to the execution place, there's time, meanwhile, for somebody to speak up, or even for him to collect his wits, and say there's an argument in his defense, and then bring him back, as opposed to if the execution was right there in the basement shtibul, or right next to it, they wouldn't have time for that. Tosfos, by the way, points out there are cases, the Naira Amarosa is one of them, a Naira Amarosa where her father doesn't have a house, or another one is an Ovid Avod Zara if the city is mostly Goyim. In those cases, it is an exception that the skila is actually done al Pesach Beis Din, it's done in front of the door Beis Din. But other than that, usually it's done far away, as we said.
Why is it done further?
In those two, the Torah spells it out and says that it has to be done. And that's what it says. We don't learn from there for everything else, because that's Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Kechad. You have two Psukim, that you have two cases where you have that din, and therefore we don't apply it to any others. Okay. Fine. Minah Hanimil. Where do we know this concept from, that the Beis HaSkila has to be outside the three mountains? Like this. The Tanan Abayim, when the Pasuk, so the Pasuk tells, at the end of Parashas Emor, you have the story of the Makalel over there, the story of the guy who blasphemed the Edishter and was executed. The Pasuk says, Hoitzeh es ha-Makalel al-Mechutz la-Machne. It says, take out the Makalel to Mechutz la-Machne. That means Chutz la-Gimel Machnes. It means outside all three Machnes. So, after Oy Mechutz la-Gimel Machnes, so you're saying that it means outside all three Machnes. Oy Eina el Chutz la-Machne. Maybe not. Maybe it means only outside one Machne. Maybe you can even do it in Machne Leviya, as long as not Machne Shchina, or whatever. Nemer kan chutz l'machnas could mean outside any machna. Yeah, no, it's like this. Nemer kan chutz l'sholosh machnas. Nemer kan michutz l'machna. Here the pasuk says by the makalo that he has to be executed michutz l'machna. The nemer v'porim anisrofin chutz l'machna. You also have the expression michutz l'machna by the porim anisrofin. The korbanos, the various kinds of special korban chatas, where the not a head. Well, right now we're assuming that right now we're saying that it's a right now we're saying that it's that, that's zeta shava. Yeah. By the porim anistrof and the various special chatas, the power of helam davar shal tzibur, the power of the kohen gadol, whatever, those have to be burnt outside the machna, and there it means malahalam chutz l'sholosh machnas. Just like over there, it means that it's outside the three machnas. Afkan chutz l'sholosh machnas. The same way over here, it means outside the three machnas. The question. So therefore, just like the parim anisrofim, that be carried outside all three machnas. It seems the Gemara is going to point out in a few lines that the place where they burnt them was actually the same place where they deposited the ashes of the mizbeach when they had to clear the ashes off the mizbeach. Nowadays, that's a neighborhood in Yerushalayim called Beit Yisrael, and that's the Meir Sharim. When they built the neighborhood 100 odd years ago, they found that the soil there was very crumbly and oily and whatever, and they realized that's where these fatty ashes had been deposited 1800, 1900 years ago. And not necessarily, because it's already Nasa Mitzvotzen, but yeah, I don't know. Okay. Fine. The question is, V'hosam and Nolan, Taka, how do we know about the Purim and Yisrael that they have to be Chutz L'Sholosh Machnas? This is like this. The Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in another brisa. When the pasuk says v'hoiti es kol ha'parah mechutz l'machne, when the pasuk says by the par helam davar shel tzibur, the case where the Sanhedrin made a mistake in halacha, it says they take the whole par outside the machne. Again, that means chutz l'sholosh machne. Again, after oy mechutz l'sholosh machne, it's en el chutz l'machne. But maybe it only means it's enough to take it outside one machne. K'shu oy mechutz l'machne v'par ha'eda. But when it says, sorry, it's talking about the power of the Kohen Gadol. So, When it talks about the case where the Sanhedrin made a mistake in halacha, and they have to bring a korban, and that also gets burned outside the machna, and it uses the expression amichutz machna, she'ein talmud loyma. Now the Torah did not have to tell us that. Sharei kvar nema v'sorach oisik asher sorach v'sapara rishon, because the Torah already tells us that par, the par helam davashol tzibur, has to be burnt the same way as the first one that's described in the psukim over there, which is the par of the kohen gadol. That means litim lemachna shia. So what is it adding by the words amichutz machna in the second case? It must be saying that it's outside the second machna, not just one but two. Uchshu oimer amichutz machna b'deshin. Then when you have by the trumas hadeshin, how do we know the third one? Because the Torah tells us by the trumas hadeshin, the Torah tells us in Sabbath Aaron ves bonav leimer that we say in every morning in davening. It says that you have to take the ashes amichutz machna. It says you have to take them outside the machne, b'deshin, in the case of taking out the ashes. Again, she'ein tamud loyma. Now, the Torah did not have to say the words on the chutz machne. Sharei kvar nema al shefach ha'deshin yisorech, because the pasuk says that the par kohen gadol and the par helam dover shel tzibur have to be burned al shefach ha'deshin, in the same place where the ashes are from the mizbeach are taken. Therefore, that must mean l'tzim le'machne shlishis. That must mean to come and teach us that there's a third machne. You have, in other words, the fact by the par kohen gadol it says mechutz machne, that's one. By the par helam davar shel tzibur it says mechutz machne again, that's the second one. By the deshin it says mechutz machne, and that's the third. Therefore we know, and since the pasuk is saying all of them have to be done in the same way, then therefore we know that they all have to be in the same place, outside three machne. We'll continue tomorrow about the shem.
Sunday, so.
So that's the Shem today, right?